Good morning. I'm not going to ask if the food was good. I had some. It was good. Okay, momentum. Let me read to you what momentum means. Strength or force gained by motion or by a series of events. Strength or force gained by motion or by a series of events. And a super opportunity to watch momentum happen this last summer. I went to Colorado. We went to Pikes Peak. Pikes Peak is special because it's a 14,000-foot mountain that you get to drive up. You can drive all the way to the top. And so we're driving, and as we're driving, I noticed something along the side of the road. It was people who were trying to bike up this mountain. I'm like, what? Why would you do that? Like, that looks so hard. And then you'd come along and you'd see this beautiful scenery and you'd want to stop, and the people on the bike just pull over and stop. And they're looking at it and they're watching it. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And as you're driving along, you drive along, and then I saw something else. I saw people coming down the mountain on their bikes, right? And so they got their arms open. They don't even have their hands on the bike. Got their arms open, their hair's flying in the wind. And just this beautiful, like, oh, that would be that. Wow, what a picture of momentum. Well, today, I want to ask you a couple of questions. One, how are you doing with momentum? Are you headed somewhere? You feel like, yeah, I'm really headed somewhere? And here's a really important question. The people who are pedaling up, are they gaining momentum? When you're taking each step, and with each step, if I happen to be the one doing the biking, I'd be like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. Are they gaining momentum? Now, I don't have to ask you about the other folks, right? I know what that's all about. I know what it's like to be on a bike flying down a mountain that gains so much momentum, it's super dangerous. Like, you got to put the brakes on that thing. You're like, oh, this is awesome. You don't even have to work. You don't have to work at all. That's how we feel about momentum. Third question. Does Jesus have momentum? Is he going anywhere? See, in a little bit, you're going to see some people that are going to take the step of baptism. The step of baptism is not the moment at which you accept Christ as your Savior. The step of baptism is when you declare to the world, I have put my faith in Christ. And I have given my life to be a follower of Christ for all eternity. And so this morning, I want to talk to you, and those of you who've said, yes, I've decided to follow Jesus. The message is, I've decided to follow Jesus, not what? So when Jesus asked you to follow, does he have any momentum? Is he going anywhere? We just saying to wait on Jesus. Is that what he wants us to do the whole time? We're just going to sit and wait? Is he going anywhere? So I got a couple of passages, and what we're going to do is we're going to jump into those passages and see what they have to say, see what God has to say about this. Then I've got a big idea I want to share with you, and then a few points of how we can interact with that. And then we're going to take, and you're going to hear the stories and watch the baptisms. It's the passage is in 1 John chapter 2, it's 5 and 6. And it says this, but if anyone obeys his word. Now, his word, many times for us, when we interact and people say, hey, what did God say about this? Or you're trying to make a decision and you go, I'm going to pray about that, see what God has to say about that. I'm going to hear God's voice. That's not what he's talking about here, not predominantly. Actually, in this particular passage, I believe he's not talking about that at all. He is talking about his word, the Bible. Right? This is not something you have to guess at. It's not something like, oh, I think this. It's not tied to your feelings. It's tied to God has spoken, his word. If anyone obeys his word, the love for God is truly made complete in them. That's where Jesus is going. Jesus has incredible momentum. He is going somewhere. He wants to take you somewhere. He wants you to become complete in your love for God. And I just had this simple question for you. What would happen to the people's lives who you love if you became complete in your love for God? What would happen to your children's lives if you loved God completely? If you'd become complete in your love, it would hugely transform the people's lives around you. It's the thing that you want more than anything in life. It's that empty hole in your heart where you're always like, I need more. No matter how much you get, you always need more. Why? Your love is incomplete. It's incomplete. You want it to be complete. I got to apologize. You're going to hear truck stories for the next couple months because I got my new truck. And I still have my old truck. I haven't sold it yet. And you get in the old truck, and it's old. And it's rough. Like, its turns are rough. Da, da, da. But when I get in my new truck, it's complete. I just keep coming up with things I got to go do. I keep coming up with things I got to go places and check on this and do this. I love riding in my truck. I love it. It's complete. That's what Jesus is going with you. He goes on to say, this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. They must follow Jesus. They must go where Jesus leads them. They must obey his word. He is going somewhere. He goes on to say, he doesn't go on to say, there's another passage I want to take a look at, and that's in Acts. Jesus was about ready to go into clouds, and this is what he says. But you will receive the power. Power isn't to have something to do with momentum. Strength or force gained, that force, that power, by motion or a series of events. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Every person who trusts Christ, every person who enters into this relationship with Christ, he gives you his Spirit full of power. How does this tie into the first passage? Because the way that the power of the Spirit works in your life is when you obey the Word. You see, when the Holy Spirit and the Word of God come together, it's what happens, it's what changes. When you're like, oh, I've got the Spirit, I feel good. But you're still deciding if you're going to obey or don't obey, you have no power. You have no momentum. It's those two coming together. Now, what happens when he gives you the power of the Spirit and you obey? He comes on you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Your love for God will become complete, and then you will love the people around you. You will make a difference, a huge impact. We're not talking the kind of impact that lasts for a day, a month, a year, or even a lifetime. We're talking about the kind of impact that lasts for all of eternity. Is Jesus going anywhere? He is absolutely going somewhere. But you have an obstacle. You have a mountain. Our church has a mountain. It was just a little bit over a year ago, a year and a half ago, that we shut everything down and we were all separated physically. And honestly, when I began to plan this Spirit Day, I was like, this is it. We're going to talk about momentum. Everybody's going to come back together. That's going to be behind us. Woohoo! But that hasn't happened. How come? Because there's still a huge obstacle, right? It's still a problem. This happened to me last week before. I picked up the mail, and I was taking it up to Diane's office, and there was somebody's name on the mail that I said, I think I know that name. Who is that? Who is that? And so I opened it to find out who it was. And it was a check. It was from someone, it's from a member in our church. See, this is what's happened to me emotionally. Whenever somebody's going to move, you emotionally go, okay, I need to distance myself from them because it's going to hurt like mad when they leave. I've moved a lot, so I know about this kind of thing. If you've never moved, you might not know, but that you do that. Without me knowing it, you see, I haven't seen this person in a year and a half. I had begun to emotionally distance myself from them, thinking they're not here. Now, if you're watching, you might think, well, that's odd. You see me every week. No, you see me every week. I don't see you. I don't know you're there. So this is an obstacle for our church. Why? Because everybody who's watching online and all of us, we're one church. We're a family. And God's word has called us to be a family so that we can love not just each other, but love our community. And we desperately need each other, but there is a mountain in front of us. Why? Because sometimes it might sound like, because there's no doubt about it, physically in my own heart, I just wish this whole thing would be over and everybody would come back. I can't help it. But for a number of people, they can't come back. Right? For whatever reason, COVID being one of them, and their physical situation, they cannot come back, right? That's a mountain. So what do we do? Do we then, in this circumstance, go, you know what? The circumstances being what it is, we can't obey God's word. We can't do it. Like, this is a special circumstance. You know what I'm talking about. Any of you who are married or you have parents, you know what I'm talking about. You are given commands. You are given instructions. You knew exactly what to do. And then the circumstances changed. And when you came to talk to that person, you said, I know that's what I was supposed to do, but this was the circumstance. What are you saying? I'm not accountable to obey the word if the circumstances change, right? If it gets hard, if there's a mountain in front of me, you cannot expect me to get on that bike and start pedaling when I know for a fact I'll never get to the top. I want to talk specifically about ministry. This applies to lots of things, but today we're going to talk specifically about ministry. And as we do, you and I, as followers of Christ, have been called to ministry. His word is crystal clear that the body of Christ is able to grow in love, impact others, because all of us do it. We all say yes to Jesus. We all obey his word. And as we do, here's the big idea. All around you, people are telling you to train that inner voice to speak momentum into your lives. This is what the big rah-rah things, you know, you all go to a stadium, you're like, ah! Right? You're trying to get that voice to convince you you're the greatest thing in the world, right? And you're trying to get that voice to convince you that you can do anything. But our inner voice is often fickle, meaning, 1 minute it tells you the greatest thing in the world, the next minute it tells you you're the scum of the earth. 1 minute it tells you you can do anything, the next minute it tells you you can't do anything. It is also proud. That voice, at the core of that voice, is it's all about you. The reason I go to church is for me. The reason I'm involved with any of this stuff is for me. And when it's not good for me anymore, I don't have to obey anymore. And it's often lost. It doesn't know where it's going. It's very proud, so it thinks it knows where it's going, but it doesn't know where it's going. Jesus offers his voice. Now, again, I'm not talking about you going, what do you think, Jesus? And you feel a certain way? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the word of God. Jesus offers his voice, trusting his momentum, or following his momentum. So this fall, we're going to go after this. We're going to go after the Word of God. And you're going to see this quite a bit. It's our growth path. We're going to be talking about that. Next week is our membership class. We're asking everybody to sign up for membership class either next Saturday or next Sunday and be a part of this and step forward with this. But this has some steps on it. We're going to be focusing on God's Word. And so I got four things here for you to consider. And as we consider these four things, I want to ask you this. Whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice are you obeying? The voice of Jesus, the Word of God, or that other voice? The other question I want to ask you is this. When you hit a mountain, it's time to go up to the mountain, go up the mountain, does that create momentum? Or is that the opposite of momentum? And lastly, is Jesus going anywhere? If the answer is yes, Jesus is going somewhere, and yes, I'm going to obey his word, it goes something like this. Yes, Jesus, I will trust your forgiveness and salvation. It starts with repentance. It starts with trusting Christ for what he's done for us. The Bible says this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Wait a minute. You're telling me that confession, admitting that I've been wrong, creates momentum? Wait, no. How can getting on my knees create motion forward? That's a mountain. Are you going to obey God's word or the other voice? Number two is this. Yes, Jesus, I will learn to hear you and follow you from the body of Christ. That's kind of the second step, or first step on the path, is I'm going to learn from other people. I'm going to interact with other people. We do this largely in groups, but there's other ways that you are opening yourself to other people and learning from them about how to follow God, how to obey his word. But if any of you obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. Momentum. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, now that you know what it's like to be forgiven, now that you know what it's like to be accepted, you know how good God is, are you going to find out what the Bible has to say? Are you going to say yes to that? Or is the mountain too big? Is the obstacle too big? Number three. Yes, Jesus, I will learn to hear and follow you straight from your word by studying the Bible. This fall, our campaign is the word over the world. Our entire campaign this fall is when we ask everybody to get into groups. We're doing all the same stuff together. Is all about how do you study the Bible? How do you know what the Word of God says? For many of you, that's a huge mountain. You've lived years. As a believer, you still don't know how to read the Bible. It's a mountain. So, how are we going to come together in this campaign? How are we going to do this? That's a mountain. Number four. Yes, Jesus, I will learn to hear and follow you by giving my life to disciple others. To disciple means I am going to teach, I am going to coach, I am going to give my life to helping other people meet Christ and then grow in Christ and what that means to do. That's what I'm going to do with my life. Now, I want to make this really clear before I go any further. We are one. The body of Christ at Skyline is one. How are we going to figure out, and will you take responsibility to obey God's word and say yes to ministry, whether you can be on campus or whether you're off campus? We're going to have ministry day on the 25th. And quite frankly, my challenge is that from now to then, that you are going, wait a minute, Jesus, how are we going to do this? What do you want us to do? How do we do this? And that you each individually do so. It says, for I gave them the words that you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. You're going to hear in just a minute the stories of people who've come to Christ. Jesus has invited you to be a part of that through ministry, through becoming a discipler of other people. Will you obey God's word regardless of the mountain in front of you and get on the bike and start pedaling? That's the challenge before us. Remember that mountain? You know what I thought or kind of discovered as I watched them? What I've always experienced in my life is going down the mountain way better than going up the mountain. And what I've always experienced is when I get on the bike and I pedal and I'm going up the mountain, and every pedal it seems like it's harder and harder and harder. If somebody yelled at me, great momentum, I'd be like, are you crazy? This is the opposite of momentum. What is going on here? What if, when you get up the mountain, well, no, let's not ask that yet. We're going to watch these baptism stories. And Jesus has invited each and every one of you, whether you're here or on stream, to obey his word, so you can be part of stories like this for all eternity. Is it worth saying yes to Jesus, getting on that bike, and starting up an obstacle? Your obstacle may not be COVID. It might be, who knows what your obstacle is, right? But what's the obstacle that keeps you from getting on that bike and riding up that mountain? Because you're like, it's too hard. He's inviting you to be a part of it.